Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Sans Pants Radio. Batteries not included.
Welcome to another episode of Movie Maintenance, where some films just need pitching. I'm Tom.
I'm Carney.
I'm Kat.
And this week, it's an R-rated Inside Out. It's a film you never knew you needed.
I'm still not sure I do.
Okay.
What's prompted this, Thomas?
So, a while ago, someone on a forum or on Reddit or on Discord or on Twitter.
The internet.
Or on... No. Just I print... So I have a guy who prints stuff out and delivers it to my house. I don't actually have internet in my house. I don't believe in internet.
Fair enough.
I'm not allowed to use it. I can't say why.
Can't say why. Redacted.
Really shady.
It doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so this young boy comes and gives me pages printed. No, worse. Someone basically said, people talking about what should someone do, and someone was like, someone should do an R-rated Inside Out. And the idea stuck with me. I was like, fuck, that's actually a bit of an interesting sort of challenge, if you will. And that was about a year ago.
Yeah.
So it's taken me a while to get my shit together.
So you've been working on it for a year.
So it must be amazing. It must be incredible.
Have I been working on it for a year?
Best pitch of your life?
How long would you say a year is?
365 days.
So not 3 days?
No.
Okay. So I've been working on this for just a bit less than a year. Okay. Just a little bit less.
Fair enough. Hair shy of a year.
Not quite 365. I'm assuming we've all seen the original. So yeah. I'm not trying to fix the original because the original is a beautiful film.
You can't touch that.
No, it works.
Where do you rate it in Pixar?
It's up there for me.
Yeah.
What beats it?
Whoa.
What would you say it slides on top of?
I really love Wall-E.
Yeah, Wall-E's great.
May I chime in with Monsters, Inc.?
Yeah. And Up.
Up's good.
Yeah, Up's really good. I think I'd prefer Inside Out to Up.
Yeah, I would too.
I would go Up first.
Up's just the first 10 minutes.
No,
there's some real nice shit in that.
Oh, it's so good.
The bit for me in Up that makes me cry every time. This will be a nice little segue in a second. Is when he gets to the and he's sitting in the house and he opens the photo album and he accidentally flicks past the pages of the next adventure and he realizes she's like filled it with their life and their life was an adventure, guys.
It's a bit sweet.
It's beautiful.
I had a tear.
It's beautiful.
I saw it with an ex girlfriend and I think I cried in it. And then I think that's why she's my ex-girlfriend.
Because she found out you're a little bitch.
Yes, Kath. Well, then I won't tell you the next story about me watching Inside Out.
No, I'm sorry. That was a joke. I actually think that's beautiful that you cried in that. I'm so sorry. I just can't resist the urge.
Nah, you're a bitch.
To call you a little
thanks
bitch.
Thanks, both of you. I feel really safe and included and welcomed and loved.
This is a safe place. No, it is gorgeous.
Well, what is your favorite then?
Well, probably Monsters, Inc.
Nice.
But Up would be a close second.
Finding Nemo?
Yep,
Finding Nemo. If I do a top five, that'll turn into a top 10, so I won't. It's definitely not The Good Dinosaur, though.
Does anything by Disney top your Pixar selections?
Well, yeah, yes. For me, Lion King, Aladdin. Ooh. Yeah, both.
Beauty
both
and the Beast?
Yeah, no. I don't have the same nostalgia as everyone else.
I'm going to pop a little controversial choice out there and say that Zootopia is probably in my top.
God, that movie is so good.
That film's amazing. It has a lot of themes going. It's just, it's in there.
I'll also throw Moana in.
Yeah. I like Moana.
It's fantastic.
It's actually a really nice movie about like just being true to who you are.
Damn straight, it's beautiful. It's got one of the best Disney soundtracks. Ooh. Actually, no. To be honest, no. It's got probably three good songs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Retraction.
What are the three?
Like The Lion King has the best music. Easily.
I reckon Little Mermaid's got some good fucking songs.
No, it has like two good songs. Whereas The Lion King has like a full CD. Like every song on that song is a banger.
I knew That's you true. Were going to say banger. I'm sitting here, I'm like, oh, she's going to say fucking banger.
Yeah.
It's a good call. Lion King is a great soundtrack. That was back when my mum thought I was going to be a singer.
You have a beautiful voice, though.
Are you
going
to sing in this episode like you did last time?
Be a singer.
There's no songs in Inside Out, were there?
No, there weren't.
Maybe not in that one, but maybe
in your one. Paul Hammond's
not.
Can you include them?
I can, if you can come up with one.
Right. Kath and I are on it.
You're on it. So that's your challenge for the pitch. So, so I'm not trying to fix it because it's unfixable. This is just a completely different version.
They're just going to like rip off a famous song and change it to like Inside Out.
That wasn't even a famous song.
Yeah, that'll be how it ends.
Well, I've been listening to Anastasia soundtrack a lot lately, and I feel like that's obscure enough that I could rip off that song and not too many people would realize.
Yeah, I'd catch her.
Would you?
I'd catch her.
Speaking, can I just say, animated kids films, Anastasia.
Never seen it.
Rasputin, sure. In the Dark of the Night.
Oh my God.
It's beautiful.
Do you know what I love in that song? I sing it all the time, and maybe more than I should, where he goes, in the dark of the night, Eva will find her, and then Terror will find her, and he goes, Terror's the least I could do. And it just makes me laugh, because it's not true. The least you could do is nothing. But he's
No. But for Rasputin, Terror is nothing.
Oh, on my mind. You have to watch Anastasia. You actually will love it. Loads of heart.
Can I just say, this is just a segue just on talking about good music and Disney films. Underrated gem with fucking amazing songs in it, the more I think about it. Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Gabe, possibly one of my favorite films.
Yeah, Gabe loves that as well. I think he couldn't finish it, like, the first time he watched it. Like, he was, like, a kid, and he was like, I'm probably butchering the story. I feel like he was
kid. Butcher the story. It's
Gabe's
a bad game.
Story. He was a kid, and he paused the tape, or he walked out of the cinema, because he was like, I'm going to get in trouble, or something bad's going to happen, so I'll just stop this experience, so the bad thing in the movie doesn't happen. He was so invested
that he didn't want the bad thing to happen.
Yeah, something along those lines. I really hope that's
I love pausing the tape. True. I miss it.
Just you can pause the DVD, mate.
Well, it's not the same, is it, mate? Because like, it doesn't have that thing.
Yeah.
We're all doing the thing with our hands. Yeah.
But you know what? People listening who are of a certain age will know.
They'll know exactly
about
what we mean.
Yeah. A lot of people who listen to this show are probably under 17 and don't know what the fuck we're talking about.
What a VCR is.
Unless they're real cool. Anyway, I should actually like talk about what I'm going to do today.
Sure.
So it's not a fix. It's a completely original. Well, it's not completely original because it's Inside Out. I've taken the concept and gone, what if it was R-rated? So it's a bit darker, a bit more violent. It's still animated. We're still in Riley's head. It's still Riley. There's still joy and sadness and anger, who I'm calling Rage.
Is Riley young still? Is she still?
She is an adult by the time this film takes. Okay. You see her as a younger person, and then she's probably like in her 20s by the time this film kicks off. We've still got a sadness, we've still got a joy, we've still got an anger or rage, and we've got disgust and fear. Bit of casting, just because, you know, I love a bit of casting. So this is the casting for just four of the emotions, because Rage doesn't talk.
Oh, okay.
So
have you gone the route of recasting
the voices?
So have the voices grown as she's grown?
Pretend that this is the only Inside Out that exists.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We're in an alternate reality where this is the only Inside Out that exists.
Right? Got it.
So I've done recasting because I like to. So Joy is now played by Kristen Bell, because I think she could get the balance of like, I'm happy, but I'm also like, things are a bit shit. So her joy is more grim determination than joy.
Yeah.
Sadness is Queen Latifah, because this sadness is very businesslike and very sensible and very much like, oh no, we're sad now. I'm in charge. And now we're happy. I'm going to go sit over here. I'm not in charge anymore.
Yeah.
And then Disgust and Fear are twins because they're very closely linked and they're both played by Taika Waititi. Just because it's fun. Anyway, so like I said, still animated and there's still a kind of nice, the film sort of still opens with that nice kind of montage talking about how the emotions are created. But there's a little bit of an edge to it. Riley's life is not the nice life that we see in the original film. So for instance, when Joy appears first, as she tells the story, the first instance that Sadness appears, you know, she's very matter of fact and she's in charge, is actually the first time Riley witnesses her mum and dad fighting. And it happens like literally she's born, they're taking her home and they start a screaming match. Like, fuck you. You fucking didn't park the car close enough. It's like, fuck you, you bitch. Get the fucking baby in the back seat. You know how much it cost me $12 for a coffee while. And it's a really aggressive fight. And maybe Riley's dad just gives his mom just a bit of a backhand.
Tommy.
And maybe she gives him one back. And Riley's this like literally hours old, starts to cry. And Joy's kind of like, what do I do? And Santa's like, it's fine. I've got it. Don't worry. Joy's like, do I get another turn? And Sanders is like, no. I'm in charge now. I'll let you know when it's your turn, but I don't think it's going to be your turn for a while. Joy's like, oh, okay. And we kind of get more of this stuff. So we get a run of kind of instances and times where Joy looks like she's about to get a run and get a turn. And then something really awful happens and Sadness is like, oh, sorry, I'll jump in here. We'll get you next time. And she's like, oh, okay, yeah, no worries. And the things are things like, most of them will be parents fighting. Dad's probably a bit of an alcoholic, likes getting in fights with people. She probably doesn't have a great, fuck you, Kath.
I'm so sorry.
So rude. This is a very emotional pitch. But basically, every time Joy thinks it's her turn, something goes sour. For example, there's a beat where maybe Riley brings, Riley's dad brings home a present for a birthday. And it's great, but he's like blind drunk. He's like, yeah, you know, play with it. And it's like something that a dad who doesn't understand the child gets, it's like a tennis ball with like lipstick on it or something, like a Barbie doll, and she's not into Barbie dolls. She's like, oh, it's all right, Dad. Like, I'll play with it later. And he gets angry. He's like, you know, I paid money for this. Bullshit, smash. And she's like, and mum, you know, mum comes in and he backhands her again. Or maybe she walks in on her mum with another guy or something. Like, basically, it's a series of just sad moments. And then it's basically a lot of the younger years is that every now and again, Joy gets to take the reins occasionally, but mostly it's just dominated by sadness until we finally meet Fear and Disgust. And they arrive when Riley finally goes to school. And she's being bullied by some older girls who pretend to be a friend and then drop a spider down the back of her shirt. It's fucked up. And that happens and Joy's like, oh my God, what do we do? What do we do? And then all of a sudden the two twins appear. They're probably holding hands because that'd be nice. It's like, oh, I really hate spiders. I've got too many eyes and too many legs and they're very poisonous. No, I don't like spiders at all. Yeah, but spiders are gross. Anything with more than two legs is absolutely disgusting. What about cats? Oh, no, cats are okay. Are cats poisonous? No, I don't think so. That kind of shit. Yeah. That's why it has to be Taika Waititi. And finally, in the same beat, we are introduced to the Beast, or Rage, who's kind of like Hannibal Lecter, like towering over them all, and is basically a sleeping monster of pure mood that occasionally gets let out. And in this beat, does get let out, because, you know, she gets a spider down the top, and then Riley gets up, smashes out this girl's tooth, you know, don't do this to me. Riley smashing a window, mum telling her off, so Riley like throws a family photo out the window. Basically, all these instances where now not just Sadness is running the show, but every time Joy tries to get a run in, Sadness steps away because someone else takes over. Fear and Disgust are fighting about something stupid, and then the Beast comes out and just smashes everything in the room. And Joy's like, I just want to get a shot. Anyway, throughout this whole thing, we eventually get that the dad leaves, and the mum just kind of drinks herself into a stupor as we fade on Riley watching from the doorway, as Joy also watches from the doorway these other emotions fighting, just waiting for a chance that she never gets. As time's gone on now, and Riley's life is real shitful. So we now see a regular day in her life. She's probably, like I said, in her 20s, and sort of talking about, like, you know, Joy going through the emotions of what's in. And by this stage, you know how in the film, what once they're adults, they've kind of got one person in charge? Like, I think the dad's got anger, and the mum's got, like, fear or disgust?
Yeah.
But one of them's in charge. Sadness now runs Riley's head.
Okay.
And Joy's kind of like, the roles are reversed from the film. Joy's kind of like off doing like shitty little tasks because Sadness is running the show. And it's all overseen by this, by Sadness, who's kind of the main operator. And she's very sensible. She's very measured. And the day looks like this. The water is cut off in her apartment. Sadness and Disgust. She has another argument with them. And landlord. Anger pushing against change, but calmed back down by Joy and Fear, who are like, no, we can't argue with the landlord again, because the last time we argued with the landlord, you know, you punched him in the face, and then we got kicked out of that place, and then that was at a place belonging to a guy that you'd already punched in the face, so we got kicked out of that place before we even got in, so we don't have a lot more places we can get kicked out of, so please don't punch anyone. Also, it real hurts. So she almost gets mugged. She misses the bus. It's just typical. She runs, like, works like two jobs. She basically works in like a Coyote Ugly style bar. She's late for work. She gets told off. She has a terrible day at work. She gets hit on. She spills drinks. She goes out the back with some of the dancers and they do like a line of cocaine to pick herself back up again. And that's really funny. In her head, it comes through and Joy's like, oh God, no. And she does it again. And the Beast at the back just like is just a completely different thing. Is like kind of like zen, like it's like, oh yes, I'm in charge now, but really fast. So yeah, so you see all these effects on her. She gets drunk, gets fired, gets rehired, goes to a bar, goes home with a stranger, and then just repeat and repeat and repeat. And effectively we just follow these events until something break, and it just we repeat this monotony again and again and again, and each time again we see Joy trying to get in, doesn't really get a shot, and it ends with she like gets fired over something, and for real she's fired now. She loses her house because she hasn't paid her rent, and it all just kind of falls apart. So she gets drunk, she goes to visit her mum in the care home, and her mum is just an asshole. Like, imagine BoJack Horseman's mum is Riley's mum. Like, it's just never a good time. So she hits a new low, and she's walking along, and they're sitting there, and Sadness is just like, oh, I didn't think we'd be back here. Joy's like, what do you mean? She's like, oh, you know, we're here. And Joy looks up and she's like, oh, I thought we'd finish this. Says like, nope, I don't think we have. All right, fear, disgust, I'm going to need you both up here. Joy, you can take a seat over there. It's fine. We got this. And she basically goes into a house to a dealer, manages to score some drugs.
Okay, yeah.
Probably through sex. Does something. It's probably harder than cocaine, so probably heroin. I don't understand drugs.
Kathy?
Yeah, why? Yeah, <don't> me, I've never even smoked a cigarette.
You just look pensive over there.
I was going to say speed. I don't know. I don't know why, though. Speed. Not for any particular reason.
No, speed would be good. Speed's good. Yeah, and basically...
Or even like Oxy or something.
She just has like
Pebble drank.
Some fun crazy, because she has a bender. Okay. And they can't contain rage, and rage gets out and just smashes everything. And then she's just miserable, and they finally calm rage down, and Sanders is like, all right, I'm taking over from here. And sits down, and basically at the end of this... The bender ends with her sitting like on the edge of a bridge, just being like, right, I'm done. I'm packing it in. And I was like, what's going on? Sadness is like, oh, yep, this is where we are now. You know, when if it gets to a point, I'll just push this button and we'll jump off.
Oh.
Jesus.
And Joy's like, why? I'll take over. And Sadness is like, no, it's not your turn. This isn't for you now. She needs Sadness. We can't decide what a person does. That's not our job. They're the people. We're just the feeling. So if they are feeling this feeling, I can't control that. If this is where a point's got to go, we can't talk her out of it because we've probably already tried. And then just at the last minute, something like flies through the wind, like a leaflet or a flyer, and she grabs it and she looks down, and all that the guys inside the head see is just a fresh start. And then Riley passes out. Imogen's like, oh, fuck, that was really bad. And it's kind of like everyone's like, all right, cool, break time, time to go to bed. But Joy's horrified. She just sits there, and Sadness is like, are you all right? And she's like, this isn't what I thought this was going to be. I mean, I thought I'd get to make some people happy. And she's like, oh, you have. There've been some happy memories. Look, there's like three over there. They're you. She was like, yeah, I thought it'd be more than this. And Sadness is like, hey, you know, maybe this fresh start will be just what we need. She's like, yeah, maybe. Well, that's exactly what they need, because next morning, then Brain Town, the emotions are dealing with a hangover. So I imagine the hangover is just like, they just wake up and there's just like a big fat seal in the brain, and they can't, it won't get off the controls. It's like, no, 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 and they can't get anything to do. Anyway, Joy's trying to take control, but all of a sudden one of the twins is like, hey, what's that out there in the mind world? Looks really big. Yeah, I don't like the look of that. You could die like 1,000 different ways if you went near that. Yes, it's real scary, actually. And it's an obelisk, like a white tower with a bright smiley face, like lit up on top of it. And Joy turns around and she's like, oh, yeah, what is that? From the other side of the room, you just hear, neat, right? And they all turn around and someone new has joined them. It's a man in an all-white suit wearing a white bowler hat with another smiley face on it and a big smiley face pinned to his white suit. He's like, hiya, I'm Hope. It's pleased to meet you.
Who's Hope played by?
Hope. Hope's played by Bob Odenkirk. Doing, I imagine Hope is probably from North Dakota. If you can think of anyone better to be like that, oh, geez, how you going? I'm Hope. Isn't today a great day? Like, that's
do you think Hope's... who it could be? I mean, I think I'd like yours better, but I'm thinking Frances McDormand in Burn After Reading, but like a nice version of her.
Or no. Brad Pitt's character.
Or Brad, from Pitt that. Character.
Brad Pitt's character.
Or like, Kenneth from 30 Rock. Or
okay. Yeah. I don't know.
But I think yours is probably still the best. But that's just, you know, if he's busy.
It's
if he's not free.
We'll get a Brad Pitt, Frances McDormand. We've got someone like nice and nice.
An idiot.
A nice idiot. Well, yeah. No, Frances McDormand's not an idiot, but she plays that.
She plays that it so well.
Linda Lipsky?
Don't know that.
I think so.
That's anyway. Her name, yeah.
Oh, right. I thought you were talking about an actress, and I was like, no. She's not a
who's
real
that?
Actress. So he's like, yeah, pleased to meet you. And they're all like, who are you? He's like, Hope, I'm new. I'm here. You know, fresh start. It was like finger guns, and they were like, oh, okay. So that's your big scary tower of death. The big scary tower, it's got a big smiley face on top. Yeah, but if that smiley face falls off, could kill thousands of people. It's all got very sharp edges. Yeah, no, I don't like it. It's like, yeah, that's my obelisk. An obelisk. Yeah. It, don't be nervous. It's just an obelisk of hope. It radiates good vibes, like this. And it just gives Fear a massive hug. And Disgust's like, it hugs you. Doesn't make any sense. Doesn't have any arms. Seems very impractical. It's like, you guys ask a lot of gosh darn questions, don't you, hey? Anyway, Sadness comes out. And she sees this whole thing and she's like, oh, hi. What are you doing here? He's like, oh, I'm new. She's like, oh, welcome. This is Riley's head. I'm Sadness. I'm in charge. And you've met Fear and Disgust and... That's Rage. Don't talk to Rage. And this is Joy. And welcome. And it's like, oh, cool. This is really great. But Joy's not as keen on this guy as everyone else is. There's something a bit off it. So she's like, hey, Sadness, a quick sidebar. She's like, what? What's the deal? I'm just going to let this guy build obelisks and move into Riley's head? She's like, well, it's better than some of the things she's put in here. But what are we going to do about it? I don't know. Just something seems off about. And then she says it. Hope's just there behind her. It's like, oh, who, me? Nah, I get it. I'm a stranger. I'm asking a lot. With the obelisk and all, but hey, look, I can leave. Honest. You just say the word, and I'm out of here. And as this conversation takes place, we see Riley in the outside world, and she's standing at a gate, and a sign that invites her to a fresh start at the Next Chance Ranch, and Chance has a CH in it at the end, so it's Next Chance Ranch. A farm in the background, and she looks unsure. She's got hardly anything with her, and in her other hand is the leaflet. And a young man suddenly rides up on a horse and he grins. And this is Oliver, and he's probably played by Channing Tatum or someone like that. And he recognizes her from the pop-up at the market that she came to. And he's glad she decided to come along. And Tug will be really pleased to see that she's joined. And now a similar conversation is taking place in both worlds, with each doubt that's voiced by Joy talking to Hope, voiced by Riley in the real world. And Hope and Oliver often say things that are literally verbatim or overlap slightly. And just at the end, when Riley and Joy still is about to, her doubt's about to win out, Hope just drops a bomb and is just like, at the same time as Oliver, you deserve to be happy. Here you can be. And so Hope moves in. And as Riley acclimatizes to life on the Next Chance Ranch, Hope begins to settle into the brain. So it's all these little things like you'll see, like, you know, she's getting her bed ready and Santa's like, oh, it's 8 o'clock in the morning. She'll remember that thing. And she sits down and Hope's like, no, I got it. See, look. And he taps another button and Santa's like, oh, great. That's fantastic. And off she goes to like read a book or something. So every time something sort of happens, I'm like, oh, no, look, I got it, watch, do. And every time he does that, there's just like another obelisk with a big smiley face appears in the back of Brain Town. And Joy wakes one morning to find a bunch of like just really tall, white-shaped things in like suits, but with like just smiley faces for faces.
Yeah.
She's like, what are these? It's like, oh, you know, they're just spreading hope. See, look. And I just give her a big hug. Yeah. She's like, oh, that feels really nice, actually. And again, more stuff of Riley getting familiar into this ranch, you know, meals, meeting people, getting us on like a dorm. She throws in her old clothes, gets like really plain beige looking or white clothes, you know, weird clothes. You know, maybe she's going to like mass and then performing farm work early in the morning and then selling goods on the weekend, sleeping in a dorm. And she's starting to get into it. She's feeling it all with gusto, with Hope overseeing all this. And each time a concern comes up, Hope quashes it. He's really good at it too. The others are soon all enraptured in the way he talks and the way he acts, and they don't mind that every now and again they'll see the smiley-faced tall goon guys running around and like building a statue or fixing something out in Brain Town and be like, oh no, we'll take these memories and we'll put them somewhere else, and because these are bad memories and we're all about hope here, no bad memories. Except Joy. She's still not getting a go. Like that's the thing that's frustrating her the most. It's not that Hope's a bit weird and he has these goons and there's obelisks appearing everywhere and everyone likes him, is that she's still not getting a fucking turn to run Riley. Every time she kind of gets a turn, Hope's there to be hopeful.
Has she ever had a go?
Not that we've seen. You've never actually seen her have a go.
Okay.
At any point. So she starts trying to snoop on what Hope's working on. And Hope eventually kind of gets sick of her like trying to spy on him and catch him. And he just turns around and he's like, aren't you trying to keep Riley happy, Joy? Isn't that your job, Joy? To just give her joy? It's in your name. My name's Hope. I give her hope. You give her joy. And Joy's kind of still like, he's like, look, all of this, it's just part of the process. There's been a lot of stuff that's gone on in Riley's life. So it's really hard to give her some hope. I mean, you know, I've seen the footage and they play on the big screen of her sitting on that bridge. He's like, she was here. She was going to jump and we've got to get her back from that. Trust me. It's all part of it. She's like, your process. He's like, yep, my process. Hope leads to joy. Hope leads. Joy follows. Joy's like, okay. And he just walks off. But she can't. She just can't. So she goes to Sandus and she's like, something's wrong. Sandus, have you seen what Hope's been doing and what Riley's doing out there? I just don't like it. Sandus's like, what are we going to do about it? She's like, I can't believe it. She's like, no, it's Riley's life. We just go where she points us. I've told you this thousands of times. She's like, no. What happened to, you know, whatever it is that you did? You don't do anything anymore. She's like, yeah, Riley's not sad. I'm only in charge when she's sad. I can't do anything if she's not sad. Shouldn't you be happy about this? She's like, yeah, but I don't think Hope is who he says he is. And Sandus is like, oh, yeah, I definitely agree. And she's like, what? She's like, oh, yeah, no, he's definitely up to something. She's like, and what, we're just going to sit here? She's like, yep. She's like, there's nothing we can do. He's in. He's in charge. She's like, well, we'll fucking see about that then, won't we? And she storms out. And just as she storms out, Sandus gives that, like, Queen Latifah little smile and is just like, that a girl. All right. So as more things have been going on, we've seen in some of the Riley bits, and I don't know where these are interspersed, but basically she's been coming closer and closer to the leader of the farm, a dude named Tug.
Tug?
Why not attached to that name? I just needed like a hillbilly name.
That's good. I picked
Tug.
I Tug.
Probably also played by Bob Odenkirk.
yeah, no, that would be good.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
And Channing Tatum can be the voices of all the big muscly people in the head. Who don't speak because they're just smiley faces.
Yeah.
They just go, they probably just hum. Anyway, there's kind of a weird moment where it would basically, you'd see beats where they're starting to trust one another and would kind of get to a point where effectively Riley is in a situation where she ends up having to sleep with the leader of the farm. But it's like part of the thing. It's like, yep, come around to my dinner. And he invites all the new women who've come to the farm to dinner. And then it's okay, I'm going to take off our clothes and it's going to be great. We're going to commune with the voice and the eye and the spirit and whatever. And Riley's really kind of like, oh no, I don't want to. And she's kind of grossed out by this. And we go inside her head. And that's because there's disgust sitting there. He's like, no, get away. Get your fucking old man penis away from me. I'm not getting that inside me. No way. I don't sleep with old men. That's fucked up. Nah, get off. Nah, this isn't okay. Oh, fuck, those girls' tits are weird. Like, just very uncomfortable, the whole situation. And as he's doing this, he's like, no. So he's pressing all the buttons, and then he just, a hand just comes across his hand and turns around. There's Hope. He's like, what are you doing, buddy? It's like, oh, you know, we're a bit grossed out, so it's my turn. When we're grossed out, that's my job. Fear, that's my brother. He doesn't want me scared, but I'm grossed out. It's like, huh, hey, grossed out? What? Why are you grossed out? Oh, you know, this whole situation, it's freaking me out a bit. There's naked people and they're touching. And I think that old guy wants to have sex with us and we don't go in for that. And I'm just like, you're holding Riley back. It's like, what? He's like, yeah, no. You let me. Come on. Up you get. I'll take over from here. So Disgust is like, oh, no, it's my job. But Hope kind of pushes him out of the way. And he's like, no, you'll be fine. Disgust is like, no. And he goes to run back. And just as he does, all of a sudden, two of the big smiley-faced goons appear and just grab Disgust. And he stands up and he's like, I thought we'd be able to get through this without having to do this, but you give me no choice. Get rid of him. And they start marching Disgust over to like the tube that goes out into the brain space.
Yeah.
About to like load him into it. And he's like, oh, while we're at it, go to the big one too. She'll be a problem later. And we cut and we see that Joy has seen all of this. And just at the last minute, she like pushes the goon out of the way and tries to fight her way through. But it's no good. The goons just keep coming. And Hope is just like furious at him. He's like, why are you doing this? We're trying to make things better. Riley cannot be her best self with any of you around. So eventually after the fight, the kerfuffle, they end up scrambling away and escaping. And Hope just kind of watches them as they run away out of the brain space, Simba, Lion King style. They've like fallen out of the top. And he just turns to the goons. He's like, oh, go on. Get out there and finish the job. You know, and one of them sort of like looks at him questioningly. He's like, no. Dead. Definitely dead. And the face is like, And as he walks away, he just says, he's like, I don't know what she is, but she's dangerous. So the trio now have to avoid the stormtrooper creepy guys. And as they're running along, so it's literally Disgust being like, oh, no, I don't want to go. This is fucking weird. I don't like it out here. And Joy's like trying to keep them while also dragging Rage. Like, imagine Rage is like a beast of burden, just these really slow, not paying attention, isn't really angry. But then when the stormtroopers start attacking, it's like, oh, we'll try to fight. Basically, here you have a nice bit where, you know, well, not nice bit, but they then have to make their way to try to work out how to get back up. And as they're walking around, Disgust spots like a bright light in the distance of all this darkness. And he's like, go there. Go to the light and that'll be able to get us up somewhere we can see so we can get back up into the brain. We've got to stop Hope. And, you know, Joy's like, I agree, let's do this. And so they start heading off and they go through like fucked up things like repressed memories and like broken dreams and all these really like nightmarish, horrible things that they have to like overcome and fight. And it's a really nice bonding thing. And And every time Joy's kind of like just getting through it with like grim determination because she's going to get back and she's going to fix this. But they're not.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
Quite sure why. Anyway, we're also intercutting with things going on outside in the real world, and Riley's participated in an orgy and now she's betrothed to like two people and she's getting into the thing and they're going to give her a seed and she's going to have a baby and it's starting to ramp up a bit and she's like, oh, yep, okay, yep, no, I'm fine with that.
Things have escalated.
Yeah.
Things have fucking escalated, guys. Things have escalated a hell of a fucking lot. Anyway, inside, the trio, the escape trio, have finally arrived at the light and it's this tiny little ramshackle shack, like on a lean, and it's... The light is coming from, like, the light inside the shack. Someone's inside. Scott's like, do you think anyone's home? And Joy's like, oh, hang on. So she ties, like, Rage up out the front to a pole like an animal. And Rage starts, like, munching on, like, brain grass or, like, you know those little things that, like, carry dreams around? They, like, run past and she's just like, jum, hum. And they knock on the door and the door opens and standing inside this little shack is this person. And they realize the light's not coming from inside the shack. It's actually coming from this person. And Scott's like, who are you? So it's like, oh my God, I didn't think I'd ever get any visitors down here. This is fantastic. Oh my God, I haven't done anything. Come on inside, come on. And she's really excited. And Joy is a bit like hesitant. She's like, oh, I don't think we should. And she's like, oh no. She's like, no, come on, come on. I haven't ever visited. This is going to be so good. And she drags him in, she sits him down. And Joy's really uncomfortable being in this room. And Disgust's like, wait. Who are you and what are you doing in this little house? And this bright, bubbly person turns around and goes, I'm Joy. And Disgust's like, wait, what? And looks at Joy and Joy's like, yeah, that's Joy. The next day, we get a beat of sadness and fear, waking up to see that Hope has now taken over complete control. The room's all white, all the buttons are gone, there's just a weird bunch of other strange symbols and stuff, and his army.
You can't be dropping that bomb and then walking away.
Watch me, mate.
Oh, mate.
And they ask where the others are. Sadness is like, where are they? Anger and disgust and joy. And at first, Hope is like, oh, what do you mean? I have no idea. Are they gone? She's like, yeah, we can't find them anywhere. He's like, oh, it's okay, we'll be fine. We'll mobilize my units. And Sadness is like, really? And he's just like, and he takes off his bowler hat and like scrunches it up. And you can see he's angry. He's like, I am trying so hard here. Can't you see that? Can't you see what I'm trying to do here, huh? No, of course you can't. Look what you've done here. Anger and disgust are out there with whatever that thing is that's been calling itself Joy. But I'm assuming you already knew she wasn't Joy, right, Sadness? And Sadness is like, sure. And she's like, this could have been so easy. It's usually so easy. I just come in and take over and get the others playing along to the tune of the hope and the happiness. And sometimes you get some problematic emotions trying to be the hero. You get rid of them early on. And Fear's like, oh, no, are you going to get rid of us too? It's like, oh, no. Fear and sadness are very important tools in what we do here. And we're so close. No, you'll be staying right here with me. What about the others, though? Like Inga and my brother and fake Joy. It's like, oh, they're going to die. I'm going to kill them. In fact, we're catching up to them as we speak. You two just sit tight. We've got some shit to do. And you know, like Monsters, Inc., they have that like sucker thing? They basically now sadness and fear get like strapped into this thing, and now they're like just being, their emotions are just being sucked out of them.
Oh, fuck.
And outside too, the farm is slowly, slowly starting to become more cult-like. So we start to realize that there's no communication with the outside. There's a bit of emotional manipulation going on, and that this isn't the Next Chance Ranch. It's actually some kind of fucked up cult. And back in the house, we learn through a bit of backstory and talking, Joy hasn't been telling us the whole truth. In fact, Joy's not Joy at all. Joy's anger. And that the real Joy and a camp explains that they both appeared at the same time, and that the whole reason that Joy and anger appeared at the same time was that Joy was having such a great time, and all anger seemed to do was just make things worse. And she was like, so I didn't want to be angry anymore, so I kind of pushed Joy out so I could be Joy. Because I thought, wouldn't it be good to be something that I'm not? Like, that'd be so much better, because people want Joy. No one wants to be angry. I mean, look, we tied anger up on a post out there. That's why her anger has manifested into this weird fucking buffalo monster, because anger and Joy are sort of places. Now, Joy doesn't seem to care, the real Joy, doesn't seem to care in the slightest that this occurred. She's like, oh, that was fine. You know, it was ages ago. Like, I moved on. Look at my place. It's amazing. And it's like, not amazing. But she's like, we're going to need your help, though, Joy. Real Joy. We've got to go back. But it's not going to make a difference because it's too late, because Hope's pretty much taken over everything. And they come out and they realize, and Joy's like, oh, not everything. There's probably some good stuff in there. Anger, as I'm going to refer to her now, is like, there's no good stuff in there. Have you not seen what her memory islands were? They were all shit. It's like bad boyfriends and being attacked by dogs and being turned away from restaurants for food. She was homeless for two. Like, it is not a good time. Just like, oh, no, there's a couple little things, you know, from early on. We can get a couple of those, and if we fashion them in the right way. But they're all pointless because we have to get back and kick Hope out so we can reboot the system.
Who's Joy?
Oh, Joy's Anna Camp from Pitch Perfect. True Blood.
The blonde one.
The blonde one. The psychotic blonde one.
Yeah.
Because I just wanted that person that was just, or it could be Maya Rudolph. I don't know. Just someone who's psychotically happy.
Could it be Amy Poehler?
It could be Amy Poehler as well.
Poehler.
Yeah. Yeah, fine. It's Amy Poehler. But yeah, just someone psychotically happy. And basically we now get a nice little beat where they're heading, gathering stuff together to head back up into the main brain.
The main brain.
The main brain, mate. The brain main.
The main brain frame.
The main brain frame. Anyway, as they're going along, they keep encountering these like stormtroopers. I keep calling them stormtroopers, but they're just like...
The Tatums.
The Tatums. The Hope Tatums. they keep encountering them and they just keep getting away. And Joy's like, you could like help. She's like, no, I don't think I could. She's like, yeah, your anger. You could really help. You don't need to just be dragging that big monster. Like, you are the thing. You could help us get through this. But she's like, no, I'm not. I don't want to be that. I want to be something else. And I was like, okay. You can't really change who you are, though, can you? And Disgust's like, yeah, she's right. You know, I try really hard to like things, but everything's just gross and weird. and effectively what they're trying to do is they're trying to find a couple of happy memories, but what they're really looking for are all the memories of the times that Riley has questioned her time at the ranch. That's what Hope has been collecting and hiding.
Yeah.
If they can bring enough of them back and dump them into a part of Riley's brain, into the main part of that weird memory tube thing in the middle of the brain, Riley will snap out of it and go, oh my God, this place is fucked up. I need to leave.
Yeah.
And effectively, that happens. So they go through the brain, they get the stuff, outsmarting stormtroopers, fighting their way through, and eventually they find their way back up to the brain. Now, while this is all happening out in the real world, Riley's starting to like question some of the behavior. Some of the men are really gross. Tug expects you to like just do whatever he wants. She realizes that it's mostly the women doing a lot of the work. They're making a profit from the food, but no one's actually seeing any of this money. There are kids being born into this, it's starting to just like take hold. Until, like, you know, and basically, I imagine that the brain, they're actually at the base of the brain, like, funneling things into an exhaust, because they're like, oh, we've just got to put as many of this shit in as we can. Just keep going. And they would eventually get caught, which would be, like, the moment where Channing Tatum in the real world is like, are you okay? She's like, yeah, no, I'm fine. I just, you know, he's like, oh, cool. Well, we've got to go for a sexy dinner. It's not that. It's something. But it's like, we've got to go commune with the eye. And that means everyone's going to get naked and fuck the old man. and she's like, oh, I don't want to do this. Basically, things are really bad in the cult. They get dragged back up to the brain, and Hope is sitting here and he's just like, why have you done this? You know, like, you're talking about the important stuff that exists out in these memory islands. Like, let's go through them, right? Here's the first one. Oh, here you go. It's the first time her dad hit her after having a whiskey too many. That was really good, wasn't it? Or how about the time her mother forgot to pick her up from hockey practice? Yeah, and she had to go home with that girl Tiffany with the spiders, you know, who used to bully her all the time and locked her in a cupboard for about 4 hours? That's pretty good. That's a good memory to have. What a great foundation memory. Or how about my favourite? Abusive boyfriend number 3, Duncan Waterman. That burn's still there, right? From the spatula on the thigh? Yeah. See, Joy, those memories are important. Yes, they made up who Riley was. Was. This is new. This is the next chapter. A fresh start. No beatdowns, no booze, no blowjobs for food. Why can't you see that? Why can't you just want to make Riley happy? And that's directed at who he thinks is Joy, which is actually anger.
Yeah.
And she turns around and she's like, oh, you see, I don't care about making Riley happy. I'm not the Joy you're looking for. I'm anger. And I'm going to carve a smile onto your face with my bare fucking hands, you toxic new age cunt. He's like, oh, yeah? You and who? And he's got like all the people around him. And she's like, oh, no, just me. And all of a sudden, she's now the big, monstrous, horrific thing. And in one arm, tucked under one arm like a rugby ball, is this big accumulation of doubt that she just needs to slam in there. Now, as she fights her way through, she kind of slams it in. And we jump outside. And in the middle of the weird sex orgy, Riley's just like, no. And everyone just stops and looks at her. She's like, not doing this anymore, and just grabs like a steak knife and just stabs one of the dudes trying to have sex with her. And basically, you get like Colin Firth in Kingsman style. Exactly what you mean. Yeah. She takes down a cult while in her head, anger is doing the same thing to all of the creepy cult emotions.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a nice little mirrored fight. She rips them all apart and Riley like burns the cult to the ground. It's fucking violent. Like, you know, there's crucifixes going through people's heads. She like lets the balls out of the pen and they like gore a couple of people. She walks up to the, you know, the creepy old man. He's like, no, what are you doing, child? You have to come back. You fucking bitch. I gave you fucking everything. And she turns around and in a voice that might be her voice, I might be disgust, actually saying, get your fucking dirty old man penis away from me, you old cunt. Kicks him in the head and like stabs him, blows the place up and like flees out of the night. And then basically like they finally plunge the last of the doubts and he gets sucked away. And as this happens, all of like the white obelisks just crumble. All the faces people collapse, and old mate Bob Odenkirk just shrinks until he's like this tiny little insecure little like, hey, you fucking, I'm trying to do a good thing here. I'm trying to do good things. That's what I'm trying to do. You know what I understand? I'm just trying to give a bit of hope.
That all started from in the middle of the weird sex orgy.
Yeah. It's all right, mate. It's a weird sex orgy and a lot of fucking violence. And yeah, so I should probably get back to what I'm doing. riff on it. And basically, Riley's now standing in the middle of like this thing and she's breathing heavily and she kind of is really wide and she doesn't know what to do. And Christian Bale's like holding the controls, like shaking and really agitated. And for the first time, she's no longer she's kind of like a weird orangey color, maybe not quite Joy. Now she's the full red and she looks like what she's supposed to, which is anger. And she's kind of not sure what to do. And then the Joy and Sadness walk up. And then they bring their hands together and they all press down on the button at once. And Riley takes a breath and she just sits down on the grass and she looks up and you can see for the first time at any point in this film, there's actually a bit of hope in her face.
Oh.
And then at the last second, she looks out at all the fire and the blood on her and just sort of flinches and goes, ew. And they cut back inside and there's the two twins. Like, oh, sorry, we just wanted to join in as well. So then it gets up to the next day and they're starting to rebuild and Riley's got her clothes and she's hitchhiking down a road and she's put the cult behind her and she's just trying to get out and get away. And sitting behind the controls are Joy and Sadness and Anger's kind of sitting there ready to go and they get, you know, a hitchhiker comes past and pulls over and it's like, oh, you want to get in? She's like, yeah, that'd be great, thanks. And Joy presses Joy and Fear's like, oh, that's a stranger's car. I don't think we should go in there. And Disgust is like, yeah, no, that's a real dirty thing to do. We shouldn't go in there. And Joy's like, no, it'll be fine. He's going to protect us. And Sadness is like, sure. Anyway, as she goes to get in the car, the guy like says some like creepy comment like, oh, here, get in my car. You're going to suck my dick. Oh, I don't know. Jesus. All right. Some kind of lewd remark at Riley as she gets in this car. And as she says that, Joy and Sadness just turn around. And Kristen Bell just cracks her knuckles and is like, it's okay, guys. I got this. And she hits the button. And that's the end of the movie.
What the fuck?
Hey, you asked for R-rated, and I thought, wouldn't it be fun if Scientology was in Inside Out?
Oh, my God.
I didn't put a lot of thought in my cult. It's just like a farm cult.
Second Chance Ranch.
That's brilliant.
I probably shouldn't have built this episode up by saying, oh, yeah, tell me about a year.
Because it makes you think that you've been thinking about this the weird sex orgy for a year.
Oh, no, that part, yes.
Yeah.
Anytime I have to write a film.
Research included.
Tom, that sounds like a fantasy, not preparation. Like,
I know, like, I just sort of like, what's the fucked up thing that happens in cults? And I'm like, oh, group sex with old men, probably.
Yeah.
Do they call him the leader?
Well...
father or something.
Yeah, like probably father.
By his eye.
I called him Tug because I didn't want to.
By his eye. I think that's from Handmaid's Tale. Yeah.
Well, he said dark. Father's eye, and I was like, what?
Could call him. Careful, you bring about the wrath, the father's eye, which is the name of his dick.
Yeah. I got that.
No, I think I called Don't him Tug because I was like, oh, maybe.
Tugboat.
Oh,
Tugger. Yeah.
Well, because I wanted him to sound disarming and that maybe it was a good idea. And then, like, you learn that it's not a good idea.
No.
Because the idea is that the emotions don't actually know where she is.
Yeah.
They just know that it's, sometimes it's nice. Like, their only context for her being in a cult is hope appearing.
Yeah.
Bob Odenkirk.
Oh, Tug is creepy.
Tug's probably played by, like, Michael Gambon. Or Bill Murray.
Oh,
God.
Oh.
So creepy.
Harvey Weinstein.
No. Oh.
So, yeah, so that's my R-rated Inside Out.
I think it's really interesting. I mean, I really liked it, Tom, and I think it raises kind of really interesting points. I like about, you know, you talk about anger becoming happiness and then maybe being one and the same.
Yeah.
Does that make, yeah.
I think it's a case
for
of
some
the,
people and for some experiences.
Yeah. It's basically been like, you actually need all emotions to, like, you know, it's the core, it's exactly the same core message from the original Inside Out, is that you need all the emotions to function. Yeah.
It's a teamwork thing.
You need to all be together.
But it was also nice because it was anger having defined herself.
Well, yeah, she didn't want to be angry anymore. She pretended to be joy.
It's nice.
And in a way, that's kind of why Riley's life was fucked up, is because her joy got thrown out of her
brain.
Oh,
that's definitely
why. And the only person in charge was sadness and anger.
Yeah.
Anger's a bit of a piece of shit.
She is.
Too much of a piece of shit. Like, I'm actually I get to a point with her where I'm like, oh, you've, like, actually destroyed this girl's life.
No, but anger hasn't. Her fucking shitty parents and douchey boyfriends did. They're a response to the
external
stimuli.
That's true. That's a good point.
Yep.
It's like a coping mechanism.
It's the same thing that sadness says. We can't tell her what to do. I'm just in charge when she's sad. She's not, like, sad right now.
That's
I can't
a good point.
Do anything.
They just cope the best way that they can.
Yeah.
And sometimes that means buckling a little bit.
I was going to pull you up at one point. I was going to be like, when she's high, isn't there a joy that kicks in? But of course there's not, because joy's not there.
No.
Quite clever, Tom.
It's really good.
Sometimes you surprise me with your cleverness.
I like that buried under a sex orgy and smiling-faced Tatums is a message about feelings.
And teamwork.
And teamwork.
Which,
Tatums,
I mean,
and tugs.
Hang on. I think all orgies, the message is teamwork, though, to be fair.
And eye contact.
Well, and arm strength.
Yeah.
And hydration.
And tugging.
So many keys to this. It's not that, like, I've been in a lot while I was researching this. Can I say, though, like, so the idea I had in my head for ages was that I wanted that she joined a cult and what the effect of a cult would have on the world of Inside Out.
Sure, yeah.
The anger as joy stuff only occurred to me in, like, the last day.
That's my favourite part of it, though.
Yeah, no, I realised
that's the part
too.
That makes me be like, ooh, you know, that's an interesting, like, dissection of how we feel things.
Yeah, because, yeah, if someone was a bit broken and had suffered a bit, their joy wouldn't be there.
Yeah, their interpretation of joy would be so, you know, like, wrapped up in this kind of warped experiences of joy. So if you have this kind of traumatic childhood. I mean, I remember talking to someone, this is a little bit of an analogy here, but I remember talking to someone about who was a gambling addict, a former gambling addict, and they were like, no, gambling addicts aren't...
When did you meet my dad? That's really nice.
Gambling addicts aren't addicted to winning because they don't win. They lose far more than they win.
Mm.
They're actually addicted to losing. And he had some really profound explanation for that, which I don't remember, but it made a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And that I've always, it kind of makes me think about what you're saying here, that...
Fuck you. I'm on board with what Kat's saying.
No, I know. It's a long bow I'm threading here, but, like, this idea that, like...
He's threading a bow. Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I'm with you. Sorry.
An archer.
Yeah, no.
Do you mean, like, you thread the arrow through your finger?
Fuck you, Sean.
No, I'm just...
I'm on board.
You pulled her up on it.
Yeah, I know. I'm on board with you. I'm on board with your analogy. I know what you're trying to say. I know what you're trying to say.
Even when I'm trying to defend what I'm saying, I'm not getting it right. Fuck. You know what I'm trying to say.
On that note, I've been Tom.
I've been Carney.
I've been Kat.
And if you want to suggest anything to make them R-rated, you can by sending us an email, moviemaintenance@sanspantsradio.com, or on Twitter at @mmsanspants. Or individually, I'm at Orca Treed.
I'm at Sidekick of Dowie.
I'm at Kath Atkins 5.
Yeah.
Hey.
That's like four in a row, Kath.
I wasn't as confident this time as last time.
You know, but you got it. You know.
But I got it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. It's like drawing a string and a bow.
I thread that bow.
You
thread
that bow.
Yeah.
Because you're addicted to losing.
Thanks for listening. If you liked what you heard, and like a savage beast, you want more, consider becoming a member of Sans Pants Plus. For as little as $5 a month, you'll get lots of bonus content and exclusive instructions on how to survive the coming rapture. Just head to sanspantsplus.com. You all come back now, you hear?
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.